Hey girl, welcome to Christian Girls Pop. My name is Stephanie Bright and I'm the founder of this girls group as well as your host for the podcast. Around here, we are all about purpose, obedience, and prayer. That's what makes us pop. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, learn, grow, and most importantly, become more like Jesus. We're gonna rock this thing out and we're gonna have fun doing it. You ready? Let's go. Hey girl, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. We are in week 50 of our Bible reading plan, and this week we are talking about how God is our ultimate judge. We're so close to the end of the Bible reading plan, and if you've kept up this long, I'm super proud of you. I know that you have learned so much, well, I hope that you have, and that you have just really come to know God in a new way, and so I'm really excited to just continue in these last couple weeks to just wrap things up. This week, like I said, we're talking about how God is the ultimate judge. And as we're nearing the end of the Bible, we're going through a lot of end time prophecies. We're seeing how God is showing up as a judge. And we talk about God being love and merciful and all this great stuff, which he is. He absolutely is. But I do want to encourage us that he also does judge. And we do have to be living right before the Lord. We do have to be in right standing with him, which we can be through Jesus' sacrifice that allows us to stand before God and be deemed as righteous. And so as we're going through this week, I want to just encourage you that this doesn't have to be scary. I talked about this last week as well, but sometimes when we hear end times and things like that, we just get kind of scared about it. We don't know what it means. We don't understand it all, or maybe we've just heard people hype it up so much to where like they're not teaching it right. They're just making you scared about it. So I do want to encourage you in knowing that this doesn't have to be scary, that God is just, this is part of what has to happen. And because he is holy, he also does have to judge. So just keep that in mind as we go through this week. But before we get into the teaching and stuff, I do have some announcements. As I've mentioned in the past couple episodes, I do have an ebook that is available for release for you. It is called Scripture Made Simple. And it's taking all of the content that we've studied this year, and I've simplified it down, made it very easy for you to understand. And so maybe if you're a visual learner and you want to go a step further than just listening here on the podcast, I do encourage you to check that out. You can start it at any time. It doesn't have to be at a top of a year, but you can start it. Scripture Made Simple. It's available on the website, christiangirlspop.com. You can check it out there. And so it's an ebook. You can use it at your discretion once you have it. And this just allows you to be able to be further equipped in the knowledge of Scripture. And I fully believe when you're equipped, you will go and teach the word correctly. You will help others on their journey. And it will just continue to build up your own knowledge, build up your faith as well. So make sure you check that out if you're interested. It also makes a great gift to someone else as well. So Scripture Made Simple, it's available on the website, christiangirlspop.com. Also, make sure you sign up for our newsletter. You can sign up on our homepage of our website at christiangirlspop.com. That gives you weekly updates of everything we have going on. You don't want to miss it. There's a lot of cool stuff happening. So this keeps you in the loop. So make sure you sign up for the newsletter, christiangirlspop.com, on the homepage. Now, before we get into this week's teaching, week 50, let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for helping us get through this plan. I pray that you bring clarity and understanding as we read this week so that we're not overwhelmed or too confused to where we just want to give up. But I pray that you would give us understanding about your words so that we would know more about you and know more about what is to come. We thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for all that you're revealing to us. We thank you that we do get to study the Bible freely. Lord, I know that there are some that don't get the freedom that a lot of us have. They have to hide to study their Bible. They have to have underground church and share the gospel and codes. And there's so much that we don't all have to participate in on a daily basis, but I pray that you protect those who don't have the freedoms that we do. I pray that you would give them strength and boldness to continue to declare your word despite the opposition and persecution. And I pray that us as believers that do have the freedom, that we would never take it for granted, but that we will always choose to live out your word and live out your scripture because of the freedoms that we have. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us and what you will continue to do. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so for week 50, we're going to be going through day 345 through day 351, which is so crazy that we're so close to the end here. So for week 50, we have Micah chapter 5, 6, and 7, Psalm chapter 130, and Revelation chapter 2. So with Micah, it's one of the minor prophets. We're finishing up this book. And in chapter 5 of Micah, we read of the prophecy that a ruler will come from Bethlehem. Obviously, we know now, looking at this in hindsight, we know that the ruler is Jesus. But he's prophesying then at a time where they don't fully understand who that will be. There's some of Micah's prophecy in chapter 5 is considered far-term fulfillment. Then that is when it will be fulfilled, when it's referring to the Syrian. That's referring to the enemies that will come during the tribulation period, which we will get to in Revelation. So if you're hearing these words and you're like, girl, I have no idea what you're talking about, it's all good. Keep listening. I got you. And then in chapter 6, we read of the Lord's reason for judging Israel. So he's letting them know this is the reason why. And we see that through several prophets that we read in the Old Testament. He lets them know. He doesn't just judge without warning, without reason, and he doesn't just say, like, I'm judging because I said so or because I want to. He lets them know exactly why he is judging them, to let them know this is your sin and these are the consequences. And then in chapter 7, which is the final book in Micah, we read of the corruption or evil of Israel. And we also read of the promise of God's heart or his faithfulness, which is really cool to see, like, the compare and contrast, because yes, Israel is evil. Yes, they have a bunch of corruption. Yes, they are sinful. Yet we still see God's faithfulness here, which is really cool to be able to see that God is so faithful, even in our mess. Because y'all, we be out here tripping sometimes, but he's so faithful still. In Psalm chapter 130, we read of the hope of redemption in God, and that's very congruent with what we just read in Micah chapter 7, because even though there is sin, we're still seeing God's faithfulness and that hope of redemption that comes in knowing that God will still come again. God will still send his faithfulness. God will still send his mercy. That is very congruent. And then in Revelation chapter 2. So remember, with Revelation, this is a vision that God has given John, and he is writing it down. This is all, for the most part, concerning end times, especially from chapter 4 on through the rest of the book. From chapter 4 to 22 is referring to the end times. But the entire vision is known as apocalyptic, or referring to the end times. Eschatological, that's another way to say it. It's all referring to end times. So in chapter 2, God has given letters through this vision to John. He has written letters to the seven churches, referring to the churches in Asia. There's also, like, a deeper meaning to each church, as far as the and some interpretations believe that this is representing the different forms of church throughout time. So, like, the persecuted church, the dead church, as the just different forms of the same church, referring to Big C Church. And then he calls out some of the things that they do well, but also some of the issues with the church. Some of them they've abandoned their first love. They have various issues that are being addressed throughout this chapter, in chapter 2 of Revelation. And you can look on a map. If you Google, you can Google these names and see, like, from, like, an ancient map, to see, like, what these areas, where these areas were on the physical map. Moving on to day 346, which is December 12th, the reading is Isaiah chapter 1 and 2, Psalm chapter 146, and Revelation chapter 3. So Isaiah, we're starting a new book, and let's give an introduction there. Isaiah's name means the Lord saves, or the Lord is Savior, and that's very prophetic of what we see here in the entire book of Isaiah, as we really just see the whole plan of salvation that's being revealed through this book. It's a lot of end time prophecies. A lot of the things, prophecies that are in Isaiah, we read of them again in Revelation. And this book has more prophecies about the Messiah than any other book in the Old Testament. And you'll see that as we go through the prophecies each day. His time period in which he was prophesying is contemporary with Hosea, Amos, and Micah, which means they were at the same, similar time, similar messages. And you will really see, now that you know who Jesus is and the whole plan of salvation and how Jesus came to the earth, you will see that really revealed through this Old Testament book. And so it's really interesting because I will ask them a trick question. When do we see Jesus show up in the Bible? And if you don't know, your quick answer may be to say that it was the New Testament. But one, Jesus is pre-existing. He's always been, and so he's been there since the beginning of time, since Genesis 1. But also, if you look at these prophecies, we can see that, man, this is so much about Jesus. And Jesus actually says that in the New Testament. He says all the scriptures were about me. And so he's showing, like, y'all, I'm the person they've been talking about this whole time. So anyways, we will see that a lot as we go to the book of Isaiah. So for Isaiah chapter 1, we are reading about the infidelity or the evil, the sin that's happening in Israel. And so God is letting them know, man, y'all perform rituals. You don't have the right motives. You're just doing stuff in vain. They're just not living for God. And as we know, that's the tune of how things go in Israel. All the prophets come and say the same stuff. And so, you may be reading like, oh my gosh, this again. Imagine how God feels when he has to keep sending messages over and over again and they still don't listen. But let it be known, by this point, you already know the deal. Israel is sinful, they're corrupt, they're not living for God, and God is sending prophets and messages to give them warnings before he destroys them. Also, cool thing is that we're already seeing foreshadowing to the cross that we'll see. If you look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, we see that. You also see the promise of restoration, which is cool because once again, God is saying, hey, I will judge you, but I also will restore you. In chapter 2, we read of the prophecy of peace and the destruction of pride. So God is saying, peace is coming, but I'm also going to tear down this pride that is all through this nation. Now, interestingly enough, it's talking about the prophecy of peace. Remember, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, so we're already seeing the congruency here. In Isaiah chapter 2, we also see the sins laid out of all the things that Israel has done without repentance. God is letting them know there will be a day this is all going to end. And in the end, God alone will be glorified. All the idols will disappear, all the materialism will disappear, all the pride. I'm knocking it down, but God alone will be glorified. In Psalm 146, we see the congruency with Isaiah. We read about how God helps set things back in order. And so we're seeing, look, this is exactly what he's wanting to do. He's trying to purify this thing. He's trying to clean things up some. And we know that he is a God of order. We've studied that through this plan. And so we're also seeing that here. In Revelation chapter 3, we're continuing on with those letters to the different churches. And y'all, I was like today years old. Well, not today years old, but like this year was the first time I've realized that Philadelphia was in the Bible. I don't know, like it just meant something to me. I've read the Bible before, but it just stuck out to me. Like I never paid attention to the fact that Philadelphia is in the Bible. And obviously this is not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Like this is not America. But I just like it's such an American thing to me to hear Philadelphia. And so when I'm reading, I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Like that's I didn't know that that was, named something else. There was something else that was named that as well. And so in chapter 3, we're reading about those that are dead, those that aren't dead, those that conquer this, referring to those that aren't lukewarm. We're reading all of these things that God is addressing within the church. Moving on to day 347, which is December 13th. The reading is Isaiah chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, Revelation chapter 4, and Psalm chapter 93. So in Isaiah chapter 3, we read of God bringing judgment to Jerusalem and Judah. He's prophesying the judgment that will be coming. He explains why once again, and he lets them know that they will be stripped. They will be stripped from their pride, stripped from their materialism, which is where they've put their hope in, and it's become an idol to them. He's letting them know this is what's going to happen. In chapter 4, we read of the prophecy of the future Jerusalem. This is a very end-time prophecy, far-term fulfillment that has yet to occur. We'll read more about it when we go through Revelation, but this is basically God is going to make a brand new holy city, which will be known as the New Jerusalem. In this prophecy, though, he talks about the fact that they're going to try to do anything they can to avoid despair from judgment, and God is like, nope, not having it. Like, you're still going to go be in, and be judged. We also begin to really see some very prominent messianic prophecies, which means prophecies of the Messiah. If you look in chapter 4, verse 2, that's congruent with the same prophecy that was, you can go back to, you can go to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, and when it talks about the branch, that's referring to the Messiah. Who is Jesus? We also read of the remnant that will be left behind, and God's just going to purify that thing, but he's going to purify it by judgment. In chapter 5 of Isaiah, we read of the vineyard parable, and we read of the future for the unrepentant or the wicked. So with the vineyard parable, it's symbolic of Israel. And God is letting them know, I set it up. I had it beautiful for y'all. Y'all messed it up because of your sin. They were prosperous, but now they've just committed sins. God refers to them as wild grapes. But he's looking like, he's showing like, man, y'all have really just messed this thing up, really. And he's letting them know, like, I know that y'all are going through the motions, but you're not really acknowledging me. And because of these things, I will be judging this place. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, we're reading of God calling Isaiah, the official call for him to be a prophet. Now, there is the debate that maybe this chapter is out of order and this happened first before he began prophesying. Some people say that maybe this was, some scholars believe that maybe this was just an official moment when God just really showed up and gave Isaiah the official call. Some people say that this was a secondary calling to be a prophet for more specific messages. Either way, God calls Isaiah, and he has a supernatural encounter with the Lord. He sees the Lord's holiness. This is one of my favorite chapters in not just this book, but in the Bible in general, as it's talking about God's holiness. And just notice Isaiah's response to God's holiness. He's just in awe, but he's also like, man, like, woe is me. Like, I'm a mess. I'm in front of this holy, perfect God. And the more he sees how holy God is, the more he sees how sinful and a mess he is as well. And so that this is a time for Isaiah to, you know, go out and begin sharing messages. Now let's go over to Revelation chapter 4. So from here on, if we're going with the interpretation of the futuristic view, which means these events have not occurred, from chapter 4 through 22 are things that will happen in the future. They have yet to occur. And so remember, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm not going to be diving deep into all of this. You can spend an entire year going through Revelation. My Bible teacher actually has. He spent a whole year just on the book of Revelation because there's so much there. But I want to keep it simple for you to understand what's going on. Maybe discuss different areas where there is some room for debate. But overall, to help you to just understand what's going on. So in Revelation chapter 4, John gets a vision. This is part of everything that he's writing down, but vision specifically of the throne room of heaven and heavenly worship. And this is a very cool chapter to imagine. Like, I think that anything that we can imagine will not look anything like what will actually be, just because God is so holy and he's so much bigger than our finite imagination. But we can try, you know, we can try to imagine how things are. And so when you're reading of John like being taken up in the spirit, I like the easiest way for me to explain it, I like to talk about it like he's teleporting, like he's like, you know, taking him up to kind of see things and time traveling, all kinds of stuff. So that's what's happening here in John. It's a very supernatural experience. We read about the 24 elders in verse 2. There is debate on who the 24 elders are. Some believe that they are angels. Most scholars believe that they are humans, but then there is a debate of like, what humans are they? Is this referring to all the believers of the church? Is this like symbolic? Is this symbolic for just the priesthood? There is debate about the 24 elders. But what we can see is that, man, there's this constant, beautiful worship of God that is happening in the throne room of heaven. And it's just like, man, like, I know a lot of people know that song, I Can Only Imagine. And like, this is what this reminds me of as I'm reading. Like, man, I can only imagine what this is even like, how this will be when I get there. Like, it's amazing. Couple things to note here. If you go down in verse 5 of chapter 4 of Revelation, we're reading about the seven lamps of fire. That is the same thing as the seven spirits of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And so it's just a symbolic way of discussing the Holy Spirit. We also read about the four beasts, which are cherubim, supernatural beings that are in this throne room of heaven. And the one on the throne that we're reading about, that is referring to God the Father. And so there's just amazing, beautiful moments that are happening here. And it's congruent with what we're reading in Psalm chapter 93. That's also part of day 347's reading. And it's referring to God's everlasting reign. And so we're talking about the throne room of heaven, God's everlasting reign. We see the congruency here for sure. God is the one on the throne. He always will be. For day 348, which is December 14th, we read Isaiah chapter 7 through 9, Revelation chapter 5, and Psalm chapter 150. in Isaiah chapter 7, we read of Isaiah delivering a message to Ahaz. And he was a king that had been seeking alliance with Assyria, basically trusting other countries instead of trusting God. And so in this prophecy, we're reading about how God's word stands above all. We also see some messianic prophecies here. We see the prophecy that a remnant will return, that gives them hope that even though there is destruction, that there will be a remnant that God will spare. But God is really trying to emphasize with them, in order for them to withstand the threats of the enemies, they need to believe the word of the Lord. But instead, Ahaz was trying to seek alliance with Assyria and trying to do things his own way. And at the end of chapter 7, we read of what will happen when Judah is defeated by the Assyrians. God lets them know, hey, I'm gonna let y'all know real quick, this is what's about to happen. In chapter 8, we read of a sign delivered via the son of David or through the son of David. And we also read of a warning of pending judgment for those who don't turn to him. So in chapter 8, we definitely read of the foreshadow of messianic deliverance that the Messiah will come and deliver. We're also reading of the warning. This is through the sign of the son that God used. God sometimes used words to deliver messages, but also he would, send a sign through imagery, through a person's actions. And so here we're seeing that God sent Isaiah's son as a warning of the imminent destruction that was to come. And so Isaiah's son's name, it actually means the prey speeds or the spoil hastens. That means it's about to go down real soon. But here we're still seeing that they're refusing God's protection, and instead they still are wanting to make this pact with Syria. In verse 10 of chapter 8, we read of God with us, Emmanuel. That's obviously referring to the Messiah, the deliverance that he will bring. And he helps fight for them. God helps fight for them, and he shows them that he's with them. But in the far term, we're also seeing that Messiah will ultimately deliver, through the crucifixion, but also through the end times as well. In chapter 9 of Isaiah, we read of the prophecy of the Prince of Peace. Y'all, we know that's Jesus. That is Jesus. We're reading, if you look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that is written again in Luke chapter 2. And that is a very popular verse of scripture. You hear about it during the Christmas time. They read the Christmas story. This is part of it. This is the birth of Christ, very messianic prophecy that we're already seeing in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 9. We read of why they're being judged. We read of the prophecy of the fall of the northern kingdom, and God's letting them know, I'm coming to judge. I'll bring the Prince of Peace in a little bit, but I'm coming to judge." Going over to Revelation chapter 5, we read of the seven sealed scroll and also worship to the Lamb. So let's talk about the scroll a little bit. It's mentioned in some songs, and maybe we just be out here singing. We don't know what we're talking about, but because in songs, we'll talk about how God, Jesus is the one worthy enough to open up the scroll. So the scroll was known as like an important document, and there was only certain people who would be able to break the seal. There would only be a worthy person who could break the seal, and the person that broke the seal had to make sure that the agreement was performed and made sure that it was completed. So it wasn't just like, oh, I'm just going to open up some mail. Like, this was a very, very big deal. And so with the scroll that we're referring to here, it's discussing about bringing up the woes that will come onto the earth, the defeating of Satan, reclaiming dominion on the earth. These were things that would come through the scroll that we're discussing. And so this seven seal scroll will be open, and we'll see what was in this scroll. And this like, once the scroll is open, it's kind of like laying out the judgment that will come and the things that will come in the end times. We also just read of worship to the Lamb. That is Jesus. That is who, just talking about the worship there. Lamb of God, that is Jesus. In Psalm chapter 150, we're talking about praising the Lord, very congruent with what we just read in Revelation chapter 5 as we discuss worship to the Lamb. Moving on to day 349, which is December 15th, the reading is Isaiah chapter 10 through 13 and Revelation chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 10, we read of several things that happened during this chapter. So we read of God's anger towards Israel. God will use the Assyrians to destroy Israel. God will also destroy Assyria, and the remnant will return. So these are all different prophecies that we're reading here in Isaiah chapter 10. So basically, God uses one group of people to destroy somebody else, but then he flips it and he gets them to be destroyed too. So he uses the bad guy to destroy the bad guy, and then he destroys the other bad guy. That's basically what happened. And so once Assyria is defeating and destroying Israel, they get a pride about themselves. You know, they're like, oh, look what we just did. And then boom, God knocks them down too. We're also, like I said, we read about the remnant that will return. We've seen that through various prophecies in the Old Testament. God will judge, God will spare, a remnant will return. In chapter 11 of Isaiah, we're reading about the future peace throughout the kingdom and how the remnant will return once again. Future peace, obviously the end time is Jesus. There will be a time, you know, like when they return from captivity, when they're returned back to Jerusalem, that's peace as well. But far-term fulfillment is Jesus coming and being that peace. It's very, a very messianic prophecy that we're reading here. In chapter 12 of Isaiah, we read of a song of praise or thanksgiving. And then in chapter 13, we read of the prophecy of the destruction. In chapter 13, we read of the prophecy of destruction of Babylon. So they will be attacked by the Medo-Persians, the Medes and the Persians, and they're being judged for their pride and their iniquity. And Babylon was very highly respected, but not after being destroyed. Everybody started dogging them out too. So one thing to note, from chapter 13 of Isaiah all the way through chapter 23 of Isaiah, we're reading of the prophecy of judgment against Israel's enemies. And so we're going to be reading of various prophecies of judgment towards different countries. Going over to New Testament, Revelation chapter 6, we read of the opening of six of the seven seals. So remember, it's a seven sealed scroll. So it's a scroll, but each, like if you were to open one, like boom, you still got to open up each page. So it's like a scroll within a scroll within a scroll within a scroll, like seven times, and each one is sealed, sealed, sealed. So each seal is opening up a different judgment that will come upon the earth. So let's go through it here. We're going to read of six of the seven. In Revelation chapter 6, in verses 2 and 3, we read of the white horse, which is the first seal. That is symbolic of the conqueror. The rider on that white horse is referring to the Antichrist. So the Antichrist, big bad guy who is against Christ, Antichrist, and he will have permission by God for a time to rule and not like above Jesus, right? But like he will rule on the earth and will try to do anything he can to be against Christ. So he will be the king of the final Gentile power, which will have dominion over Israel. So he is big bad guy, king over God's chosen people. This is, you can read of this prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. And what happens is the Antichrist will actually make peace with Israel. So he's going to seem like he's a good guy, but he's actually not. It's like a superhero villain kind of story, you know? He's the villain for sure. So that's the first seal, is that the Antichrist will come and reign for a little bit. Obviously, like I said, when I say reign, I'm not saying like he's replacing Jesus in any form or fashion, because that's impossible. But what he will do is have a reign on earth. In verses 3 and 4, we read of the red horse, which is the second seal. So this is showing that there will be no peace, or there will be the judgment of God, the wrath will be poured out, and there will be conflict and wars on the earth. Now, one thing to note, with the pre-tribulation view or interpretation that I believe that the church, the saints of Christ, that are, the saints of God that are on earth right now, living, breathing, they will be raptured out. And so we would not have to go through this, but it's still important to know what are things to come. Now, others believe that all of this will occur and we will be here on earth to see that. Like I said, those are differing views. But what I'll be teaching from is the pre-tribulation view, that the church will be raptured out. So if you are righteous with the Lord, you're a part of the church of God, then you will be raptured out. You'll be taken out before this comes on the earth. Verse 5 and 6, which is the third seal, that refers to the scarcity or famine that will come on the earth. This is the black horse, and there will be famine. Verses 7 and 8 are the fourth seal, which is the pale horse, and that is symbolic of the death on earth. There will be widespread death on earth through sword, famine, pestilence. If you've noticed, you may have heard that before. They're all kind of linked together. God's going to wipe some people out. Verses 9 through 11 is the fifth seal, and we hear the martyrs' groans or cries. So these are those who become believers during the tribulation. I think I forgot to mention this, but basically the tribulation has started when these events occur, when these seals are being opened. This is part of the tribulation. 7 years of tribulation total. There's the tribulation and then what is known as the Great Tribulation. Let me break that down for a second. So in the 7 year period, the first 3.5 years are known as the tribulation. The second 3.5 years are known as the Great Tribulation. And so what that is saying is things just get even worse the second half. So in verses 9 through 11, when we're talking about the fifth seal, which is the groans and cries of the martyrs, these are those who have become believers during the tribulation, because there still is time to become a believer during the tribulation. And so they're left here on earth. Things are still really bad, though. So they're like dying for the sake of the gospel. And verses 12 through 17 is the sixth seal, which is referring to the cosmic earth or changes or disasters that will come upon the earth. This is heavily prophesied in Mark, Matthew, Joel, Acts, and we see the different actual physical changes that will happen on earth. This is not symbolic. This is physical changes that will happen on the earth. And so one thing to note, this kind of sums up the first half of the tribulation, which is known as just the tribulation. And then we'll kind of pick up on the Great Tribulation in a little bit here. So this is beginning the judgment during a tribulation period. With my pre-tribulation view, I believe that the church will be raptured out before then. And we will not be around to see this, but there are people who will remain, those who are not raptured. The tribulation occurs, there still will be a chance for them to be made right, but there will be a lot of judgment that will already be poured out on the earth. For day 350, which is December 16th, we read Isaiah chapter 14 through 16, Revelation chapter 7, and Psalm chapter 23. In Isaiah chapter 14, we read of the prophecy against the king of Babylon, Assyrians, and Philistines. We read of the prophecy against the king of Babylon, a prophecy against the Assyrians and the Philistines. Remember, from chapters 13 through 23 of Isaiah, it's prophecy against different enemies of Israel. We do read of the promise of return or restoration once Babylon falls, which they don't see that yet, but God knows that once Babylon falls, the captives of Judah are released and they are allowed to go back to Jerusalem. And so that is the near-term fulfillment of the return, and then far-term fulfillment, New Jerusalem, all the end-time prophecies that have yet to occur. We also read of the fall of Satan. So this is not prophetic. This is showing what already happened. This is prophetic of the fall of the king of Babylon. So it's like, this is what happened to him. And let me tell you, this is what's going to happen to you as well. So this kind of gives us background context of why Satan is the way that he is. You know, it's kind of like when you read of like a really bad guy or something and they give you like the background story of like why he's that way, why he's so mean, you know, like a villain in a movie of they show like his childhood or something. This is why Satan hates us, because he got kicked out of heaven. He mad about it. He real mad about it. We also read of the fact that the Syrians and the Philistines will be destroyed. Remember, these are all the people that have been against Israel, but God is letting them know that they will be judged as well. In chapter 15, we read of the prophecy against Moab and the judgment that will come there. Moab has been long-term enemies with Israel. God is going to light them up, judge them. Same thing with chapter 16. It's continuing on with the prophecy against Moab. We do read of a messianic reference. If you look at verse 5 of chapter 16, we see that reference to the Messiah. And God lets them know that only a small remnant of Moab will remain. But the rest of them, it's about to go down. Now, for Revelation chapter 7, we're reading about the 144,000, and we also read about the multitude in heaven. So, some people say that this is a continuing on of the seals, and this is just what kind of happens next. Some people say that this is a little bit of a break, and then we pick back up with chapter 8 in regarding to the seals. So, at some point in time, this is occurring within the first half of the tribulation, those 3.5 periods. But like I said, some people believe that this happens between the sixth and seventh seal being opened. And so there are false doctrines that believe that only the 144,000 are the ones that get to go to heaven. That is very false. What this is showing is that the 144,000 strictly refers to the Jews. It does not exclude the Gentiles, which is everyone else that's not the Jews. But this is just showing that God is allowing 144,000 of them to enter into heaven, those that believe in him. So that is simply what it means. This is not so, because here's the thing, when people say like, oh, this is the only the people that will make it to heaven. So essentially, you're living your whole life with a hope that you will be one of the 144,000, number one. Number two, is there not already 144,000 people that have said yes to Jesus and have lived a life for him? Like, if that's the case, we're all like done for, because we've missed the mark. So this is showing us, that's just two examples. We can go through scripture as well. Like I said, I ain't trying to get too deep, but I do want to let you know that that is not true doctrine, and we are not excluded just because there is a specific number that's mentioned there. So in verse 9 of chapter 7, the scene kind of shifts, and we're seeing the heaven in the throne room, and just seeing the multitude that are worshiping God. We're really seeing the results of the outcomes of God's salvation through the great tribulation. We're reading of that here in Revelation chapter 7. Lastly, for today, we're reading Psalm chapter 23, which is talking about the Lord is our shepherd, a very popular verse of scripture. The congruency that we can see here is that God is leading and guiding us, and he's leading us so that we get to have these moments. Like, you know, I want to be led my entire life so that I can see Jesus one day. That's just a beautiful thing. But there's so much more that we can see here in these chapters. Also, another thing that we can see that's congruent, if we look at Psalm chapter 23, it talks about how God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And we're seeing that congruency with, as he's talking about the judgment that's coming to the enemies of Israel, if we go back to Isaiah 14 through 16. So God is showing us, like, I've got you. Don't worry about your enemies. Like, trust me, I'm the one that's leading you. I'm guiding you. I'm protecting you. I will be the one that's with you. Lastly, in Psalm chapter 23, verse 6, it ends with saying that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that definitely can be congruent to what we're reading in Revelation, and knowing that we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. We will be with him for eternity. And that's a reassuring thing that brings a lot of hope. And for the last day of week 50, we have day 351, which is December 17th. The reading is Isaiah chapter 17 through 21 and Revelation chapter 8. In Isaiah chapter 17, we read of the prophecy of judgment, or the fall of Damascus. And with this, they, because of their judgment, they will finally turn to God instead of their idols, and they will finally look to him. That's one of the things that God has been frustrated about for years, is for hundreds of years, is the fact that they have looked to everything else besides him. And so this shows that, hey, God is going to judge and he's going to fix some things. In Isaiah chapter 18, we read of the prophecy of judgment against Cush and Ethiopia. In chapter 19, we read of the prophecy of judgment against Egypt, and how God will bring internal strife and he will dry up the Nile. And remember, drying up the Nile River is a big deal, because trading was a very popular form of income. And so now God is drying up the waters. There no longer can be trading. Now their materialism is gone, their wealth, their prosperity. And God is saying, hey, this is the one thing that you've put all your hope in. You put all your eggs in one basket. You weren't trusting me. You were trusting everything else. I'm going to judge that one thing. And I know somebody listening and it's like, oh man, God has done that in my life too. Girl, I know he's done the same thing to me too. He's you know, stripped me away from things that I put my security in, and that when it wasn't in him. In Isaiah chapter 20, we read of the prophecy of judgment against Egypt and Cush. And we're seeing God really use Isaiah as a sign to the people. So there's debates on if Isaiah was fully naked or if he was just like somewhat unclothed. Either way, he was unclothed to some degree to prove a point, letting them know like they were about to be stripped naked, like butt naked. Like he was going to take everything away from them to get their attention. And that's when they will realize their wrongs and hope in, and how they were putting their hope in the wrong source, and they weren't putting it in God. And remember, God has already sent warnings and judgment, and now he's like, all right, I'm going to just let y'all have it. I'm going to just handle my business real quick. And then for chapter 21 of Isaiah, we read of the prophecy of Babylon. We read of the prophecy of judgment against Babylon, Edom, and Arabia. Edom, once again, long-term enemies of Israel. All these countries will be destroyed, and God will handle his business. Now let's go over to Revelation chapter 8. So we read of the silence in heaven, seven trumpets, and four of the seven trumpets being sounded. So the seventh seal brings silence in heaven. There's 30 minutes of silence. And so now, you know, we already opened up six seals. This is the last seal to be open. And so there's 30 minutes of silence with this last seal. The Bible says about the space of half an hour. So 30 minutes. And now with this seventh seal being open, there are seven angels with seven trumpets. So now it's like a box within a box. So we had, we had the seven sealed scroll. Within that seven sealed scroll, there were seven seals. With each seal came a different form of judgment. Now that we're down to the seventh seal, there are now seven trumpets. So scroll, seven seals, now seven trumpets. And these trumpets will announce more continued, these trumpets will announce further judgment that will come on the earth. So it's like judgment, and then you open that box and there's judgment in there too. So it's going down, right? So the silence ends and these trumpets are going to be blown. So the silence ends and now these trumpets are going to be blown. So in verse 7, we read of the first trumpet, which will bring damaged or burned vegetation. In verse 8, the second trumpet brings the destruction of the seas and the animals in the seas are killed. Verses 10 through 11, we read of the third trumpet, where the waters are destroyed. The water is made bitter, so people die because they're drinking the water. In verse 12, we read of the fourth trumpet, which brings the striking of the heavens and the skies. And verse 13 is an announcement that there's more to come. So this verse reminds me of like the commercial, like, but wait, there's more. That's what this is happening. It's like, okay, four of the seven trumpets have been blown. There are still three other trumpets left to sound. And we will pick up on that next week in week 41. So a lot of judgment. This is why I named this week the theme for the week, God is the ultimate judge, because truly he is. He's bringing a lot of judgment in these verses. This is not to scare us, but this is to remind us that this isn't a game. Like, we can't just play around with God, think that we can do whatever we want and God will be okay with that. But with judgment, even in the judgment, we're still seeing mercy, especially when we read through the prophecies of Isaiah and how the remnant will be spared. And we're still seeing God's mercy and his hand in all of this. So that is week 50's reading. I hope that you understood. If you need to listen to it again, write down some notes, look some stuff up, go for it. Rock out, sis. This is just a resource and a guide for you to help you understand the word. I want you to have the questions. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to even feel a little weird about reading this. Like, man, this is kind of heavy stuff. That is okay. Just keep reading. Keep praying, keep asking the Lord to reveal himself, and he will. So thanks so much for tuning into this week's reading. If you have not already, make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Goals Pop. You can check out our website, christiangoalspop.com, and check us out on YouTube at Christian Goals Pop. Make sure you get your copy of Scripture Made Simple so that you can continue to study the Bible, maybe even teach it to someone else at one point. I love to see how this has been spread and being used for God's word. Make sure you check out all of those things. If you would like to donate, you can donate to this ministry on Venmo at Christian Girls Pop, on Cash App at $ChristianGirlsPop, and on PayPal using the email address cgpopdonate@gmail.com. cgpopdonate@gmail.com. You also are more than welcome to donate on our website as well, ChristianGirlsPop.com. So make sure you check out all of that, and we'll see you back next week. As always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.